There's more confusion today about where President Trump stands on gun control after he invited leaders of the National Rifle Association to the White House for an unannounced meeting last night. He appeared to side with the NRA on gun rights one day after appearing to side with Democrats on gun restrictions in a remarkable televised listening session.
So it's been a chaotic week in the White House with the shift on guns, as Peter just said. Plus, there's the resignation of Hope Hicks, the communications director, and reports that National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster could leave by the end of the month. And White House economic advisor Gary Cohen is also reportedly thinking about an exit. So let's bring in our Friday roundtable. Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC. Hey there, Beth.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And Domenico Montanaro, lead politics editor at NPR. Hi, Domenico.
Thanks for having me back again.
So, Beth, let me just start with you. There's chaos and then there's chaos. Where does this week fall in that spectrum?
You know, what you said is exactly right. There is chaos and then there is real chaos. And this week felt like real chaos. It really felt like the wheels have completely come off the bus of this White House for all sorts of reasons. But the staff defections that you mentioned have left the president fairly unmoored. He has gone out to basically violate the no-compromise rule with the NRA that Republicans typically follow, only then to seemingly rein it back in. He berated his attorney general on Twitter. He has announced a trade war on steel and aluminum tariffs without briefing lawmakers or doing any sort of pre-prep to make the various stakeholders aware that he was doing this. It's a totally unmoored Trump, much more so than we've seen. And because of the loss of Hope Hicks, as you said, who has been a guiding force in this White House, it's unclear whether this is really the new normal, that even though it was chaotic before, it seems much more chaotic now.
Domenico, let me ask you, though, inside the Beltway, definitely lots of people are talking about chaos. But outside of the Beltway, one wonders, I mean, the president's supporters may just see this as the president taking action and being decisive, even if his decisions are constantly changing.
That's totally possible. But I would point to an interview we had on air on NPR the other day with Congressman Massey from Kentucky. And I was struck by just how much he was willing to criticize President Trump. He noted that Trump won his state by 40 points, but still was willing to take him on. And when we asked him, well, do you feel like he's hurt his relationship with people on Capitol Hill? He said, I don't think the relationship has been very good at all from the beginning. So it's kind of hard to hurt it. So, you know, he's been taking that kind of stance. And to go to Beth's point here, you know, Hope Hicks is somebody who would not have been the first person we would have thought of who would have left this White House. She's sort of the last of the loyalists. But in Trump, President Trump apparently telling her the day before that how could she be so stupid as to tell investigators that she told white lies for the president, that seemed to be the last straw for her. And this, she is something like the 50th person who's now left the White House.
Is that an exaggeration, Domenico? Is that an actual number?
Oh, that's an actual number. Wow. I went and added them up, and there have been you know, something like 14 or 15 very high-profile people and then staffers from various parts of the White House who've all left more than 50. Some of them have actually been reassigned to other places, so not counting them, it's a little over 50.
So, Beth, having said all that, I'm going to give you the unenviable task of trying to figure out where we stand on guns right now on Friday afternoon. Today, Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders told reporters that Trump conceptually still supports raising the age to purchase a gun to 21, and Trump did not necessarily support the universal background checks he seemed to back just 2 days ago. So, again, Beth, where are we? Do we know anything more about the future of these gun laws?
Well, we do know that Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, has said he is not bringing any gun legislation up next week, which is a surprise, but basically because it reflects the fact that nobody really knows where the president stands. And because of the shock this week that many gun supporters had by seeing the president of the United States, a Republican, on television, on national television, musing that he would be okay with confiscating people's guns and then going to due process later, that floored everyone and hence led to that emergency meeting with the president and these NRA officials to clear things up. But it, as you said, it really didn't clear anything up, because even though Trump and NRA representatives both last night tweeted to say that they were back on the same page and that the president fully supports Second Amendment rights, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, as you mentioned this morning, said he's still musing about raising the age of eligibility to purchase a semi-automatic gun to 21, which is something the NRA just staunchly opposes. So we end basically where we started on all this, really not being fully clear on what the president supports, but still having that televised televised meeting with lawmakers for the ages. Huh. That video will exist forever, yeah, of the president saying that he is basically supportive of many gun control measures favored by Democrats.
And Domenico, it wasn't just on guns that he shocked members of his own party. It was also on this issue of trade and these proposed tariffs that he's putting out there. That shocked members of the Republican Party.
Absolutely. It's like he just doesn't know the issue. He seemed confused as to who the players were in the room when he was talking about guns and what the history of gun policy has been, what the alignments have been. I mean, to accuse Pat Toomey, the Republican senator from Pennsylvania, of being afraid of the NRA, which is why he didn't include raising the age from 18 to 21 for being able to purchase an assault-style rifle. There's so much wrong with that. It's very difficult to even begin to tell you, because, you know, the NRA hated Pat Toomey's immigration bill, and it was his gun bill, and it wasn't a comprehensive gun bill. It was a background check bill. So that was a big problem. When it comes to, you know, what he did with trade, this is the problem with playing checkers in a town that you have to play chess, because he's saying, I want to negotiate. I want to say to the steel companies, let's make you great again. But at what cost? You know, when you look at manufacturers, when you look at the American Petroleum Institute, people, groups that are traditionally Republican-leaning groups, are upset because their materials are going to spike. They're going to be the ones paying the price down the line on this, and that's irritating them.
And not only that, more American jobs rely on imported steel than rely on making steel, Beth. I mean, did he understand that, or was he just playing to that protectionist base that he went after during the election?
Well, to be fair to Trump, even though he's been very inconsistent on almost every position out there, he's been pretty consistent on trade and this notion that Americans are being hurt by unfair trade practices. Many people would disagree. In fact, the interesting thing, the sort of oversetting of this whole conversation is that we have a Republican president who is doing a protectionist trade war and has mused about confiscating people's guns. Those are things that Republicans would never in a million years dream, yeah, that one of their own would support. And so we're in completely uncharted territory here. But on trade, Trump is basically consistent with his message. He's always said he wanted to crack down on what he considered to be unfair sale of cheap aluminum and steel in this country. And he's doing exactly what he said. But as Domenico pointed out, he did so without really testing and evaluating the impact it would have on the broader economy and on other businesses and companies that typically are very Republican-leaning, who are aghast by this.
Right. I mean,
so Trump is not only a stress test for democracy, but he's a stress test for the Republican Party. And, you know, this is essentially what new Republican nativist populism looks like, and he's putting that to the test.
I mean, it's Trumpism, right? I mean, that's the big question. Can it be called Republicanism anymore?
You put all of that – well, because we have such a binary system in this country, he has taken over. He conducted and successfully won a hostile takeover of the Republican Party.
Yeah. So let me ask you both this. We're sort of circling back to the chaos question here, because on the issue of tariffs, that's one of the things that reportedly may is leading to talk about White House economic advisor Gary Cohn thinking about resigning. And then there's the issue of H.R. McMaster also reportedly perhaps looking for the exit sign here. I mean, what impact, Beth, would that have on the administration's ability to function?
Well, Gary Cohn has thought about leaving in the past, most notably after the Charlottesville crisis when President Trump seemed to suggest that the neo-Nazi marchers and the folks opposing them were equivalent, or that there were good people on both sides. He then came roaring back into prominence during the whole tax cut debate and legislation and scored a big win there. People thought he was going to leave anyway after winning the new tax law and come back to New York. So the fact that he stuck around is a little bit of a surprise anyway. So this could perhaps offer him the chance to leave. But as we were discussing earlier, this White House has just been hemorrhaging people. There's almost nobody there anymore who's really, you know, keeping the lights on. If Gary Cohn leaves, if H.R. McMaster leaves, he'd be replaced eventually. But you know, if he walks out the door, you know, how many senior people who've been around this president for a while do you still have there? It's really the family. It's Jared and Ivanka, and they aren't in particularly stable shape either. So it's a dwindling universe surrounding this president right there in that White House.
And there are questions about their future in the White House as well. That is Beth Fooey. She is senior politics editor at NBC. And we've also been speaking with Domenico Montanaro, lead politics editor at NPR. Thanks to you both at this very interesting time.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.